Bad news.
Bad news for the state.
Bad news for capital.
Bad news for patriarchy.
Bad news for all forms of domination.
Bad news. Angry voices from around the world.
Our monthly info show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio projects worldwide.
If these news are bad, I don't want to be good.
Živela anarhija. Skvotirajte svet.
La revuelta necesita de todo. Fuego, música y amor. Organízate, conspira, ataca.
Good evening to everyone. You are listening to Paria's radio show from Athens. This is my contribution to the bad news of the month. We are with Damianos in Exarchia, and more specifically in the area of Eftopia. Damianos will talk us about wind farms in Greece and green development. So, at the beginning, I want to tell us about your assembly. Since when have you started your activities? Who participates and where we can find more about you.
Hi, hello to everyone. So few words about us. We are the Initiative of Athens for the Protection of Agrafa, or how most people know us, Ελεύθερα βουνά χωρίς ολικά, which roughly translates to free mountains without wind turbines. Our struggle and this assembly specifically started in May of 2018, when mostly people that come from Agrafa or live or love Agrafa in some way, and many mountaineers and hikers, came together to begin this struggle for the protection of the area. Agrafa, by the way, is a mountain range in central Greece. A very beautiful one, should I say. And our assembly now has a social media page in Facebook, Instagram and Twitter as Save Greek Mountains or Ελεύθερα βουνά χωρίς ολικά, of course, in Greek.
Okay. For what reason your assembly created and for what purpose?
Well, the reason behind the first assembly and how it started is that on 2018 a permit was issued by the state for a huge industrial wind power plant in the heart of Agrafa. It was the power plant of Nyala Voidolivado, which was just the name of the mountain peaks where it would be installed. And the first assembly happened after the permit, so that we see what can be done to prevent it. Fast forward to now, this specific project has indeed been cancelled, but of course we still go on, because our goals since then have grown and expanded. And well, firstly, only in Agrafa there are many more projects and hundreds of wind turbines that they are planning to install. And other than that, nowadays we don't only fight for Agrafa, but also for all mountains of Greece, and not only mountains, and not only wind turbines, because there is also like small hydro plants all around. Big solar farms in natural environments or agricultural environments, and we fight against all these forms of invasion to natural land, And of course, we also stand in solidarity with anti-mining movements and all movements that are against the uncontrolled destruction that capitalism causes to the environment.
What about wind farms in Greece?
Like, to begin with, I would like to say something about the term of wind parks, because this is the term that is mostly used in Greece also. And I think it's a bit misleading, because the word park is affiliated with good stuff. And I really don't see how huge industrial plants can be called a park. So we try to call them like what they are, so industrial wind power plants. And well, we should first of all mention, because like many people maybe think of Greece as a place mostly with islands and sea, but in reality around 80% of the area of Greece is like mountainous. So it is really a very, very mountainous country. And in these mountains, there is like a lot of biodiversity, a lot of natural environment, many mountains that are relatively untouched from human activity. Some of them have very large areas with no roads at all. And these places have huge importance in terms of biodiversity and nature. So with industrial wind power plants, all these places are really threatened, and almost no mountain in Greece right now is safe from this madness. There's also like no spatial planning from the state. So literally every mountain, even the protected areas and completely natural areas, can be exploited from this energy market. But a good thing that we see is that where there is like resistance, there is also many wins. So to sum it up, it's basically a huge new market where few big players, three or four big companies mostly, gather huge profits, and this incomprehensible legal framework that exists really works in favor of those big players and does not protect the natural areas at all. And to close it, like, there's also a lot of funding from the European Union and the Greek state that goes to these big players of the market, who do investments with basically zero risk, because they have guaranteed profits. And that's why they like it so much.
Okay. Do you like wind farms? No wind farms. How do you say?
let's call them industrial.
Industrial wind plants, power plants. Yeah. You don't like them from an aesthetic point of view?
To begin with, we don't like them from an aesthetic point of view. But there's also like many deeper reasons that we resist them as well. Like it is, of course, political reasons, and like even existential reasons, because these rich natural environments that still exist in the mountain of Greece face an existential threat due to the spread of this industry, basically. And like wind turbines for example, industrial environment, maybe aesthetically wouldn't be like so unpleasing, but when you put them, like when you invade a natural place, which used to be like many of these mountains, I would even dare to call like small paradises, and bring like tons of cement, metal. You turn it into an industrial place, and also like they make a lot of noise. So they disturb the ecosystem, the animals, the birds. So both aesthetically, but also for many, many more reasons.
What does a green development mean to you?
Green development, we could say that is like a facade of capitalism, a big lie to convince us that capitalism can turn green and in that way continue its infinite growth without destroying everything in its path. Which also technically and scientifically is not it's not possible at all, because it's actually greenwashing of this system that even with these so-called green technologies will never stop to depend on fossil fuels, oils and gas. But it tries to convince us otherwise because it opens up a new market. In reality, this new market expands into new areas, destroys them, while the system increases how much energy it needs. And in that way, it doesn't even reduce how much oil it uses. Well, we could expand a little bit on that. I don't know, should we? Like there's some reasons, like for example all the roads, all the sea transportations, all the heavy industry cannot turn electrical, and for example, and also to make it all electrical you would need like a great expansion of the electrical networks, which is also needs a lot of metals, and to get metals you need energy, you need oil, blah blah blah. And there is also no way to store, like no technological way to store electrical energy in big quantity, so this makes it impossible to exchange oil and these things with purely electrical things. And we say this not because we are in favor of oil but or fossil fuels and oil, but because we need to reveal the lie right now that capitalism is trying to say, in order that it keeps doing what it's doing, and without people seeing the truth that is the inevitable destruction that infinite growth will bring.
Okay, now, what struggles have taken place and are taking place right now?
Right now, the nice thing, the good thing is that a lot of struggles, a lot of local struggles are emerging everywhere in Greece, basically. I could mention some places, but that's not all of them. Like Agrafa, of course, Crete, Evia, and the rest of smaller islands of Greece. In Peloponnesos, Menalo, Taygetos, Pylio, Pindos, Dadia, and in the islands. In all of those places there are movements. And this increase of resistance in the last few years is a very positive thing. But in these years, there is also an increase in of the attack that is happening against Greek mountains and Greek nature in general. We, as a movement that is based in Athens, we try to actively support and have communication and solidarity with all the movements that exist, and not only with Agrafa, the mountains that we started as an assembly to protect. Basically, it's a grassroots movement where no big parties are involved, and it is quite decentralized, really. In this way, it has like a lot of diversity also in it, and new movements in a lot of places emerge all the time in these last few years.
What means of struggle usually this movement use?
Well, in this diversity that exists, many different initiatives, assemblies, and teams use a variety of means for this struggle. We, as an assembly, and many other movements, one of the means, we basically use a big variety of means as well, basically all of the available means that we have and are not, of course, against our core values. One of the things that we do use as a means of struggle is actually that we ironically kind of become defenders of lawfulness in some times, and we defend the environmental laws that exist, that basically they are, it is very flawed, but as a tool, and by using it, we can a lot of times block or delay many projects. And although we do not expect from a capitalist state to act with a goal different of capitalist growth and profit, we use these tools, and a lot of times it is kind of easy to use these tools, because both the state and the companies that make the projects a lot of times do not follow the legal path, even though it is kind of made for them. They even in this situation, they do not follow it. So a lot of times we are able to use these tools and use them against them. Now, of course, we also see the limitations of this, and primarily we want to have actions such as demonstrations, excursions to the mountains that are in danger, events, informative events, written announcements, actively supporting the local struggles and being in communication with them, sharing knowledge, and generally spreading the news and information in an attempt to empower and motivate people that fight against this destructive spread of capitalist development that destroys the mountains and nature. To add on that, it is very revealing for the growth of our movement that a demonstration that happened for the first time in 2018, then didn't happen for some years, like during the COVID years, happened again in 2023, and again this year. This year, like for the first time, we had a huge increase in people coming to the demonstration. There were around 5,000 people approximately, and this happened with zero big media coverage, and it was really moving that many people from all over Greece, a lot of them hundreds of kilometers away, traveled to Athens to participate in this demonstration. So this was for everyone like a very strong message to keep fighting, and that this fight is growing and has a lot of people on its side.
For closing?
For closing. For closing, we can, I can say, we say in Greek, Ελεύθερα βουνά, ελεύθεροι ανθρώποι, which is one of my favorite ones. And basically, it's very simple. It means free mountains, free people. And I like this because it brings into the table the social aspect that this struggle has. Because the mountains, in many places, but also specifically in Greece, are connected with the ideas of freedom in many ways. For example, with the guerrilla fighters that were finding like a shelter in the mountains, and mountains a lot of times were places that remained like managed to keep their freedom against occupations, and were the hotspot of the struggle to for something new, for a revolution, you could say. So they are things that inherently connected, and keeping them free is also a step towards gaining our freedom.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Squat the lot. No systems, but sound systems.
Bastard ever came home from earning $8.25 an hour feeling proud. Minimum wage, just a fancy term for industrialized slavery. We're in a war with the privileged. Those aren't streets you're sitting on, they're battlefields. And it is our duty to fight the comfortable and the overfed. So go forth, you sons of bitches.
Iz bojišća razredne vojne poruča Črna Luknja.
What is there in Budapest this weekend?
Okay, so every year we organize a counter-protest against Nazis who organize a protest in memoriam of Dejf Anar. It's basically a historical event when the Hungarian remaining Nazis tried to break out of the Buda Castle when the Soviets came, and they have failed miserably. This is a brief attempt to rewrite our history, because the narrative here is really that the Horthy government, who were the governing party in the Nazi era, were trying to actually protect Hungary from Germany, etc. But that's a false narrative, because I think the Hungarian Jews were the majority who died, besides the Polish population.
Okay, and the upcoming protest, how the mobilization is going? Is it international in character, or is it more Budapest or Hungary-based?
We are trying to make it as international as possible, so if anyone knows to come or has the ability to come, they are very welcomed here. It's unfortunately mostly Hungarian people who take part in this protest every year, because the mobilization is still a little bit hard, but we are getting like bigger and bigger every single year. It's a good sign.
Thanks for talking with us. We stand in solidarity. Always make Budapest anti-fascist as it should be.
Oh,
Okay, so I would like to ask you, why is it important to organize against the Luke of Mars for all these years?
For all these years, it's important because it happens actually for many, many years, and it's one of the maybe the biggest gathering of neo-Nazis in Bulgaria and in Europe. In Sofia, it happens every February, as you know, in commemoration of this General Lukov, who was a completely fascist, but they commemorate him as a patriot, as a heroic general from the First World War. But, of course, they didn't say that he was a minister of war during the Second World War. He was anti-Semitic, he was for the deportation of the Jews from Bulgaria, and he was for the strong connections with the Nazi Germany during the war. So this is somehow as a gathering of European neo-Nazis in Sofia through the years as well. And, of course, anti-fascists here want to demonstrate against it every year. Not only against the march itself, but in general against the Nazism. And this year the point is actually towards the street fascism, because in the last year it was a lot of attacks in the streets against migrants, against some other people. There is a unfortunately wave of young Nazis who are active in the street. So we speak also against that.
Okay, what is your plan then for Saturday? What can people expect?
It is a gathering in the garden between the Sofia University and the parliament. It will be a march after that. This garden actually has a monument about the Jews that were saved during the war, like 50,000 Jews, but also the Jews who were deported from the territories occupied by Bulgaria at that time, in what is now Republic of North Macedonia and Northern Greece. So again, we'll have some speech about that, and then we have a march. By the way, I have to say that the repressions from the police, from municipality, are stronger this year. I want to mention that last Saturday we had a protest in front of Turkish embassy in solidarity with Kurdistan, with Rojava, and also against repressions in Turkey. And there was a note from the Turkish embassy to Bulgarian exterior ministry, this protest to be moved from there, to not happen in front of the Turkish embassy. Also for the anti-Nazis march, comrades wanted to start 5 o'clock p.m. in the evening, to be closer to the actually to Lukov march. But the police moved us to the morning, to like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, in order not to be very near both events. So it's somehow a repression. There is also pressure against them, of course, like every year, but also against us.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing this with us. We are, of course, sending solidarity and fighting spirits from Ljubljana. Stay strong and good luck on Saturday.
What's a revolution to you? To kill their bosses and take their money.
Добре, ама така ти можеш в една демократска държава да издат народна уста на кино.